Death of the body is indeed the most trying of all human experiences. From a human standpoint, it seems so final. Man is so evidently helpless to protect himself in the hour of death. It seems death is the worst experience possible to a human being. So it is for the unforgiven and unsaved sinner, but not so for the Christian. Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his. These words spoken by the ancient prophet Balaam suggest two great truths. First, the righteous must die the same as the wicked. And secondly, there is a difference in the death of the righteous and in the death of the wicked. God specifically commanded the apostle John to write, "Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. A, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." The psalmist added this testimony, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." Since the death of a righteous person is precious in God's sight, and those who die in the Lord are declared blessed, there is no wonder men have desired to die the death of the righteous. A Christian may approach death with assurance and peace. This is possible because his fears are relieved in Christ. Consider these truths which gives the Christian hope in his death. First, death comes only to the body. All of life is marked by deterioration and recreation. There comes a time, however, when the process of recreation is slower than the process of deterioration, so that weariness, sickness, and eventual death follows. At that point, the spirit steps apart from the body. The body falls down dead, but the spirit remains very much alive. You see, the body is not the person. It is simply the garment the real person, the spirit of man, has worn while he's here on the earth. There is no more harm to the spirit to lay the body aside than there is harm to the body to change clothing. It is possible for the outward man, the body, to perish at the same time the inward man, the spirit, is being renewed. The spirit of a Christian does not go to the grave with the body, for then shall the dust, that is the body, return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. The physical body is like a garment which the spirit wears. It is the kind of garment needed for this world. But just as you would dress in different clothes when you came in from a day's work and prepared to go out to a social occasion, so this fitted for earth body must be left behind when the spirit of man goes to God in heaven. Hence, the body lies down as if in sleep. It perishes away and returns to dust. But the real person who lived in that body, the human spirit, is more alive than ever before. Understand this blessed truth. Death brings no harm to the person who is trusting Jesus. Death comes only to the body. It is not a painful experience, but the end of pain. Set free from a limited and dying body, the spirit hastens away into the glory of God's presence. That's what it is like for a Christian to die. Second, death holds no danger for the Christian. Death is a promotion, not a destruction. The Apostle Paul declared, "It is far better to depart and be with Christ than to remain in this world." He declared his confidence in Christ at death was such that he was willing to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Such a hope is no mere deception. It is based upon a firm foundation. No less than 154 times the Apostle Paul declared that the Christian is in Christ. When the believer comes to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he fears no evil, for the Lord's presence is there. Jesus keeps him safe. How is this possible? Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9 and verses 14 and 15 announces that Jesus tasted death for every man, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. What is it that makes people fear death? The answer of 1 Corinthians 15:56 is, "The sting of death is sin." When Jesus settled the sin problem by his vicarious death and victorious resurrection, he took the sting away from death and for all who know forgiveness of sin. So we can declare, "Thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Death has no dominion over the spirit of the believer in Christ Jesus. He passes through death as one steps through a door. Death was not able to hold Jesus. It cannot hold the one who trusts Him. Some time ago, I was attending a meeting where many preachers and Christian leaders were gathered. Word came to the assembled brethren of the death of two of our associates, men whose lives were devoted to God's service. At first, I wondered how I could make the announcement without casting a spirit of sorrow over the meeting. But it occurred to me to say, "Today, two of our beloved brethren were promoted. They have gone to be with Jesus." Oh, it's a great thing to live with Jesus here in the world, but it is a greater thing to go be with Him in heaven. So far to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Third, death is not a condition or a state, but a door for the Christian. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. One moment the believer is here in time with loved ones, the next moment he is there in eternity with loved ones. The transfer between here and there is but an instant. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord for every Christian. There's not a single verse of Scripture which teaches that a Christian soul goes to sleep at death and is awakened at the resurrection. No, from a conscious state on earth, he goes to a conscious state in heaven. Neither is there any biblical justification for the dogma that one must stop in purgatory between death and destiny in heaven. Oh no, rejoice in the blessed truth that the Christian goes immediately to be with his blessed Savior and his saved kindred in heaven. The Bible says, "So shall we ever be with the Lord." Death brings no destruction, neither will it bring separation from the Lord Jesus. It is stepping through a door accomplished in an instant, thereby making a transfer from earth to heaven. Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his. A fourth truth, death leads into fullest life. Therefore, death does not mean an end to life. Quite the contrary. At the death of the Christian, mortality is swallowed up of life. This means the Christian steps through the doorway we call death and enters into a much fuller life than he has ever known here. For this reason, Jesus can say that anyone who believes in him never really dies at all. How can you call it death when a believer steps from temporal life to the fullness of eternal life? Death comes as a monster to swallow up its victim, but is itself swallowed up by the fullness of life. Think of physical death in the light of these words of Jesus. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Now how can anyone dread the blessed transfer to the Father's house? Jesus promised a criminal upon the occasion of his repentance and faith, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." That is the fullest possible life, to be in the paradise of God with the Lord Jesus. How can anyone call that death? Death of the body is indeed the most trying of all human experiences. From a human standpoint, it seems so final. Man is so evidently helpless to protect himself in the hour of death. It seems death is the worst experience possible to a human being. So it is for the unforgiven and unsaved sinner, but not so for the Christian. There are many things so much worse than death for a child of God. Those who step apart from the body to be with the Lord have not perished, nor are they eternally separated from their loved ones. So make sure your faith is firmly settled in Jesus, and then you will die the death of the righteous.